One of the most common questions we get as financial advisors is, should I contribute to traditional or Roth? It's a complex question with a lot of variables. So today, we're going to help you answer that question.
Welcome back to the Becoming Work Optional podcast, where we discuss personal finance strategies you can use to regain ownership of your time. I'm Rachel. With me is my co-host, Matt. Today, we're diving into the traditional versus Roth debate. Like Matt mentioned in the very beginning, we get this question constantly. There are so many things to consider, so many variables. So this is something really common that both Matt and I have to help clients with quite a bit. So we're excited to really dive into it and have this just be the kind of comprehensive guide you need on deciding between traditional versus Roth.
Yeah. So on episode 12, we actually talked about the most common financial mistakes we see. And one of the ones that we referenced was people contributing to the wrong IRA based off of their tax situation, either contributing to Roth when they shouldn't be or traditional when they shouldn't be, or not taking advantage of a backdoor Roth. So I think that today is going to be an awesome baseline for us to kind of refer back to, or for anyone else who's listening to refer back to when they have this question.
Yeah. So, you know, just starting at the very beginning, defining, just in case you're not completely familiar with traditional and Roth, just defining how they work, how they're taxed. So traditional IRAs, the way that it works is that you get a tax deduction in the current year in which you can contribute, and then it grows tax deferred. And then eventually when you take it out, hopefully later down the road in retirement, that's when you will be taxed on the money as it comes out of the traditional IRA. The Roth then is just the exact opposite. So you pay tax in the current year, do it at the beginning, and then it grows tax-free and comes out tax-free as long as you meet certain requirements. So that's the way that they actually work. So when we're deciding between the two, we should start with defining what the goal is. And the goal here is tax arbitrage. So you're trying to pay the least amount of tax. So you're trying to either, you're thinking to yourself, okay, do I think I'm in a lower tax bracket today? Then I want to pay it today. I want to capitalize on that. Do I think I'm in a high tax bracket today? I think I'll be lower later on. Then you want to defer it out to a future time. So that's what we're trying to do, is capture that year where your tax is going to be lower. And the way that it works when we're looking at traditional versus Roth, and what you would do if you knew the answer, is if you knew taxes were lower today, you would go Roth. If you knew your tax rate was going to be lower in the future, you would go traditional. And here's where people always get confused. If your tax rate were to stay the same, same today, same in the future, there is no difference. Traditional and Roth come out to be the same. People get really confused. There's that really popular graphic where they're talking about paying tax on the seed or the harvest, which one you want to do. And I think that's really confusing. It really does not make a difference. We could dive into the math behind that, but that's something I see. I just want to address that up front because people get confused on that all the time.
Yeah. And I think the other thing that people get confused on is just all of the variables that are involved, because not only are you thinking like, okay, is my tax bracket going to be higher today or in the future if everything remained the same, but you have to think about the different tax law changes that occur over the course of your lifetime. I mean, the most recent one that we had was in 2017 with the Tax Cuts and Jobs Act. That changed tax brackets. It changed the way that like deductions and exemptions were taken. You know, a lot of people don't itemize anymore because the standard deduction was raised so high. So when you're thinking in just in terms of like your personal situation, you also have to kind of look at the potential tax changes that are going to happen between now and then. That said, one thing that I really like to reference is there's a, like Michael Kitsis wrote an article on this on his blog, and it's kind of like comparing the, you know, arbitrage that you can make depending on your individual situation. And we're going to reference that a little bit more later, but It also references based off of all the different tax changes that have happened, goes back all the way to like 1913. You know, the marginal brackets have changed, exemptions, deductions, everything has changed, but the actual effective rate of the top 1% of earners as well as the average earner has stayed much more consistent. So In reality, what we really need to be focusing on is our individual tax situation, and doing kind of dynamic either contributions to whichever account is more advantaged that year, or taking advantage of Roth conversion opportunities when those opportunities present themselves. And that's going to be something we're going to touch on here in a few. But I think first, let's just talk about all the considerations that we have in the present day as well as in the future.
Yeah, there are so many variables. So I always find it really funny when people simplify this with traditional versus Roth. It's not the worst thing to rely on a rule of thumb, but it's just simply inaccurate. But yeah, there's this obsession with just a marginal tax rate and completely ignoring that tax laws have a huge impact on how much tax you pay as well. And what we mean by that is tax laws are things like the deductions that you have available to you. We just saw a huge change with the standard deduction. It was really increased in 2017. So that's a huge difference. So I don't really, I mean, I care to a certain extent about the marginal tax rate, but I care much more about your effective tax rate. What are you actually paying? Because as marginal tax rates increase, we also see an increase in deductions that are available to you. So it kind of comes out and it's fairly equal. Like Matt said, it's been fairly stable for a really long time. So that's a big one. But then there's also just thinking through, changes to your individual situation. So we know people who are single versus people who are married are taxed differently. If you get married, it might bring your taxes down, or if you're marrying a high earning spouse, your taxes might shoot up, in retirement. What people often don't consider is that there's the possibility of a spouse passing away. Now, all of a sudden, you go from that married tax bracket to the single tax bracket. That has a huge change on your taxes. There's state income tax. That's another one rarely mentioned. You might retire to a high state income, or you might retire to a low state income tax state. And then there's just, spending. So there's how much you're earning, but then you also have to look at what are you actually spending. So if you're in the top tax bracket for earnings, but you're only spending like you're in the 22% bracket, that will have a huge difference later in retirement. There's the sources of taxation and retirement income. So where are you actually pulling retirement income from? Is it coming from a brokerage account, or is it coming from traditional or Roth? That has a huge impact. When you want to retire, the age you want to retire, I already mentioned where you want to retire. Passing on the assets to your heirs and how inheritance works. Or if you receive an inheritance, this happens quite a bit in retirement. That has a huge can have a huge impact on the taxes that you pay. And then there's your income affects other things. So it affects how much of your Social Security is taxed. It's going to affect IRMA. There's so many variables, and why we want to run through these and really emphasize how many things there are to consider is because a lot of people oversimplify this. And what can happen is you can run all the numbers, you can have really detailed analysis, but one variable changes and it can completely disrupt your strategy and everything you planned for. So there's a better solution here, and we're going to dive into it. Matt, anything you want to add on those variables?
Yeah, I mean, one of the big ones I always hear, I feel like, is people will say, "Oh, well, like I'm just gonna move to a state with no income tax in retirement." I'm like, if that's what you want to do, then like, okay. But I've heard people say that they're gonna do it simply because of the tax benefits, and I'm like, let's just pump the brakes real quick because moving just for that purpose seems a little outlandish to me. But the other thing is, like people don't realize that a lot of these states with either zero income tax or low income tax rates make it up in other areas. So it could be property taxes, sales taxes, or just general cost of living. So these are all things that you're going to need to think about because you might end up having to withdraw more from your portfolio to cover these things. The other thing, and you touched on these, was like just that all the different like things that the average person who hasn't dealt with these on like a client basis multiple times isn't going to think about, being the taxation of Social Security benefits, what your RMDs look like, if you invest, the difference in the taxes, but into the, or if you don't spend your RMD and you invest the after tax amount into a taxable account, like how does that end up compared to just Roth without RMDs? So like it's always going to be individualized. Especially, we work with a lot of high net worth clients where like their taxable portfolio could be, in the millions, and just the like investment income that's getting kicked off from that puts
Yep.
them in a high tax bracket. And I think the other thing is, we're gonna touch on the rule of thumb, where that kind of is the where everyone starts off, but you really have to think about it in terms of like where you're at in your life as well. Are you in like your peak earning years, or are you in like the early years where you're expecting to have peak earning years, or you're close to retirement and you know that like this is as good as it's ever going to get? Sometimes that's going to play a role in whether you decide to put towards traditional or put towards Roth, because you're kind of looking in the future with expectations of where you see yourself. And again, one single variable changes and all of that kind of goes out the door. Especially as you mentioned, like when you spend however many years, married, filing joint, and then you're planning on being in that same exact tax bracket in retirement, and then something like some kind of tragedy happens, and now all that planning that you were like had in mind for those years is completely thrown out the window. So I think that it's just like you said, making sure that people understand that like, simple advice or things that you see on the internet might be easy to be like, oh, I'm gonna follow that because I can comprehend it, but there's really so much more that needs to go into it.
Yeah, it bugs me definitely when things are oversimplified. I don't want to overwhelm people too, because I believe everything we talk about should be actionable in some form. So we want to give you a framework, a way to think about this. And it's starting with the rule of thumb. So not a big fan of the rule of thumb, but we're not going to stop there. We're then going to customize it to you. So I do like to just start, with some back of the envelope math and say, look at the different tax brackets and just categorize it. So if you are in the 10 to 12% bracket, we're going to say go Roth. I'm going to touch on that one again in a second. If you're in the 22 to 24% bracket, these are the middle brackets, you can go either traditional or Roth or both. Not a big difference. If you're 32% bracket or higher, we're going to say go traditional. Now, when it comes to this rule of thumb, I think there's only one, and this is my opinion, and there are some people I think would disagree with me, but I think I have a pretty good argument here. I think there's one that survives, and I think that's the 10 to 12% Roth. Paying 10 to 12% in taxes, I believe, as a marginal tax rate too, not the effect of a marginal 10 to 12%, I just think that's a good deal. There's so much uncertainty, there's so much unknowns with future tax rates, future income, everything like that. I'm jumping on the 10 to 12% marginal tax rate if I have that available to me. I feel very comfortable paying that. I don't know if you agree with that, Matt. That's the one I think survives.
I agree. I mean, if you just look at like historically wise, I mean, like that, and as you mentioned, you're talking about marginal, not and like when you look at effective, it could be much lower. So, it just kind of makes I think it makes sense in that sense. And I think one thing just to put on that is a lot of the times it can be hard to wrap your head around that, because a lot of people are going to see a potential tax deduction. They're going to see a way like, oh, if I contribute this, I can pay less in taxes. And that's exactly what I need to do. Like I completely understand where that idea comes from. But if you're looking at it conceptually from present versus future perspective, it really makes sense to pay the tax now on that
Yeah.
low, about as low as you can get from a marginal rate perspective.
Yeah, and I think this is a good time to point out too that there is a advantage here with the Roth, and that's certainty. When you pay your taxes today, that's done, it's out of the way. There's no future uncertainty with the Roth outside of investment performance. But a change in taxes doesn't impact your Roth account. That's done. It's just the traditional accounts that are affected by the change in tax rates. Those are the one where in a lot of the research papers, I like how they say it, the government is a silent partner in those accounts. And they are. The government is due some of the money in those accounts. The Roth is entirely yours. So some people, just from a risk tolerance or, devil you know versus devil you don't, like the Roth for that reason. I don't think that's always a strong argument when you're in a high tax bracket, but I do understand the certainty that the Roth gives you. And I think it can make a lot of sense. And again, at 10 to 12%, I think it can make a lot of sense. Beyond that, when we get to 22 to 24 plus, this is where we really want to think about your situation. So this is where we're going to say, okay, forget the rule of thumb. We now need to customize it to you. And I think we've talked about this, but I think there's two really good ways to do this. First is just understanding where you are in your career and remembering that this is all relative. So a 24% bracket could be somebody's highest tax bracket. It could be another person's lowest tax bracket. And you can start to figure that out by just understanding, am I at the beginning of my career? Am I in the middle? Am I in my peak earning years? Am I in my 20s? This is my first job. And you're in the 24% bracket already. There's a good chance that's going to be a lower tax bracket. So this will help you understand if your current tax bracket is low, middle, or high for you. That's what's important. And that's where I start to hate the rule of thumb. Because again, the 22 to 24% bracket, it could be somebody's high bracket, it could be another person's low bracket. You have to customize this to you, understand where you are in your career.
So I think one thing that I want to add to that is when you're looking, like when we're saying, okay, if you're in this tax bracket, then it makes sense to do Roth. If it's this, it's traditional. What we also need to caveat to that is, when you're looking at an employer plan, like a traditional or Roth 401k, there's no type of like deductibility or income limitations. So like you can do the full, in this year, $23,000 contribution if you're under 50. Plus the catch up if you're over 50, but you can do that without having any kind of worries about an income limitation like you do with IRAs. So, for example, with traditional IRAs, if you're covered by an employer plan and you have income at a certain level, then your contributions, like the deductibility of them, gets phased out. And then with Roth, you can't make a direct contribution if your income's over a certain level based off your filing status. Not going to get into those exact numbers, but just something to be aware of. But so when we're talking about that, remember that employer plans, no income limitations, IRAs, you have to be aware of where you fall on those. And then the other thing is the potential for a backdoor Roth IRA that is kind of like, I guess you could say like a little bit of like a loophole in the sense of, you wouldn't be able to take a deduction on those contributions, and you also wouldn't be able to make a direct Roth contribution. But by opening that up, you can, really get the tax-free growth and benefits of it when, typically, and it's not going to really take into account the tax arbitrage aspect of it. I see a lot of people will say, oh, like backdoor Roth IRA is cool and all, but it's not like it's small potatoes because it's, right now it's $7,000 a year for a contribution. I'm like, yeah, on an annual basis, sure. But if you extrapolate that out, like you and your spouse doing backdoor Roth contributions for 20 or 30 years, you just created all this tax-free wealth that otherwise you would not have had. I mean, yeah, you could invest it in the taxable account and you'll pay capital gains at, an advantaged rate. But, you were able to defer taxes on that money all those years, whereas it would have been taxable on the way in a taxable account. And you get the tax-free growth. So I always take a little bit of offense to that when people are like, oh, it's not that big a deal. And I'm like, it's, yeah. And for some people, it might not be, but for others, it's going to be a huge value add.
Yeah, I agree. Especially your high income, your high net worth. A common wish for many of them is to pass on an inheritance. Not many better things to pass on than a Roth account. So that is
Right.
that. I think that's a big pushback, and that's a good point. When we're talking about traditional versus Roth, it's easier to look at it in the context of traditional or Roth 401k because we can just kind of ignore income limitations and everything there. When it gets to the IRAs, that's where the income limitations, the phase outs come in, and where a lot of us are kind of forced to do both, which we'll talk about the end. Especially the importance of doing both. So going back to the framework, we're looking at starting out that rule of thumb, customizing it to you. First way to customize it to you is to just pay attention to where you are in your career. Second way to customize it to you, though, is to pay attention to your spending. We touched on this, but again, if you're in a high tax bracket, but spending in a low tax bracket, that's something you really need to be aware of, because that means there's a really good chance that when you fully retire, start pulling income from the portfolio, that because your spending is so low, you're going to be in a much lower tax bracket. But if you're in a high tax bracket and you're kind of spending up there near the high tax bracket, it might matter a little less. But customize this here, because there's earnings and then there's actually spending. And spending we really care about, because that's what's going to determine your tax bracket to some extent in retirement. Of course, we already touched on the other variables that will force you to have a higher income potentially, that like an RMD. If you have really big traditional accounts, then it really doesn't matter if you're not spending much. You might have these huge RMDs being paid out and pushing you into a high tax bracket. So again, it's just when I look at these analysis, and I looked at so many different white papers and analyses that people ran, it was so frustrating, because I felt like they were ignoring huge variables like RMDs. It's so easy to look at it in a vacuum and say, oh yeah, traditional always makes sense. But not when you completely ignore the big RMDs that happen at age 73 right now, that completely throws everything you did out the window. Those are going to have a huge impact on your tax. So the way I like to look at traditional versus Roth, and I notice a lot of financial advisors look at this too, or do it this way as well, but I like to take it year by year and pay attention to the big swings in your income. And there's research to support this, Michael. We'll add it in the description of the episode, because we are referencing this research a lot. But the research Michael Kitches did on this showed that the biggest impact to your wealth was not just splitting contributions or going all traditional or all Roth. It was jumping on the years where you have big swings in income. And so this is a timing strategy, but it's a timing strategy that actually works, because we have a really good idea of when we're in a high income year or a low income year. There's these events that will happen that will make it really obvious. All right, this can be a high income year for me. Like if you receive a huge bonus, if you marry a higher earning spouse, if your business takes off, you know that you're high earning years, and maybe it's time to go traditional versus a low earning year. You get laid off, or you retire, or you start a business and you drop tax brackets. I actually have a personal example of this. When I left my full-time job to start the business, my income plummeted. It was very, very low, and I actually took my full IRA, converted it over to Roth, because I just knew that that was going to be the lowest income year, hopefully, I'll ever be in. So I jumped on that. And that's really what the research suggests, is as you go through your career, you have these different events, you have these big swings in income. That's the time to go all in on traditional or all in on Roth. And that's what makes the biggest impact.
Yeah, you totally stole that from me, because I did the same exact thing.
Did
I was
you?
flustered. I was like, I'm gonna share this personal example, but I think that just goes to show, like, both of us doing the same exact thing, recognizing, okay, we left high income jobs to start a business where in the first year we know our income is gonna be really low, potentially negative. Now is the best time for us to accelerate this income that we deferred at a higher bracket. And that's the, like, just this a stone cold example of tax arbitrage. And like that's what we talk about, or that's what we mean when we say, sometimes reducing taxes over the lifetime is paying more tax in a given year. Sure, I could have not converted that traditional IRA and I would have paid less in taxes that year and had more in my pocket. I was willing to make a little bit of a sacrifice, recognize more income, because I knew that over the long term, in the short term too, as well, in the short term, I made, a tax arbitrage benefit there. And over the long term, that's going to benefit me as well.
One of the finance mistakes I say I made is in the beginning of my career, I went traditional 401k, which makes no sense. I was in a lower income year compared to where I am now, and I wish I would have went Roth. So that's really it, is paying attention to those big changes in the tax bracket. I want to mention tax brackets as they are today. if you pay attention to them, there's two big jumps that happens. A lot of times between tax brackets, it's like a 2% increase, but there's two big jumps. There's a big jump from 12 to 22% and 24 to 32%. So if you're close to those, you want to pay extra close attention, because if you're going to jump from the 24 to the 32%, that's such a big jump. It might be worth it to go traditional to get yourself back into the 24% bracket. Or for whatever reason, you're typically in 32%, you fall down to 24%. That might be a good time to capture that lower one. So when we're thinking about big swings, there's a lot of things that can happen with your income, and but you want to look at it in the context of where does this put me in the tax bracket? And the research shows that really pay attention to 10% swings. So another example is if you move from a state that has a zero state income tax and you move to something like California, where now you're adding 10%, that's a big swing. We want to pay attention to that. Or if you move away from California, whatever it might be, anytime we have that 10% swing, that might be when it's worth it to go all in on one. Now, how this actually works in practice is most of the time, we've already alluded to this, but most of the time, a lot of us are kind of forced to do some combination of it. And I'm a fan of once you get to retirement, having a healthy mix of each. Now, I think sometimes it makes sense to have a lower Roth account if you're somebody who's really planning to do aggressive Roth conversions in early retirement. That can be fine. But I still am a fan of having a mix. And if you follow the strategy of jumping on these years, you should end up with a mix. But also, many of us are forced into a mix anyway, because what happens is we might max out a traditional 401k, but we're above the income limits to make a deductible traditional IRA contribution. So we can't even do a traditional IRA. So we might go do a backdoor Roth IRA. And now we have a combination of traditional 401k, backdoor Roth IRA. Or another scenario happens a lot is somebody wants to max out a Roth 401k, but their employer is matching traditional contributions. So most of us are forced into some mix anyway, which I don't think is a bad idea.
Yeah, and I want to, you mentioned it, and I wanted to make sure that we covered it, was talking about Roth conversions once you hit retirement. So this is going to be, again, hugely dependent on when you retire. So for example, when we're looking at age 65, that's when you start Medicare. Your Medicare premiums, there's what's the I know the acronym, but it's called the Income Related Monthly Adjustment Amount to your Medicare premiums. So once you get above a certain threshold, they actually add to your Medicare premium. So for really high earners, it actually adds like a pretty substantial amount. So you have to, when I've worked with retirees doing this, we're not just looking at the tax bracket, we're looking at where they fall in that IRMA bracket to make sure that we don't cross over to a threshold that really like bumps up their monthly premiums. Another part of that then is Social Security. So right now, RMDs start at 73. So before then, you want to like you would hopefully be able to convert at a lower tax bracket. Other thing to consider is when you start Social Security. So I forget what Michael Kitts is called, but I think it's like the Social Security tax time bomb or something where you could be in a low tax bracket. Say 10 to 12 or something when you retire, and then you start doing these big Roth conversions, and then you actually take your Social Security from being either like non-taxable or 15% taxable all the way up to like 85% taxable. So now you, by recognizing more income on the Roth conversion, you also recognize more income by making more of your Social Security taxable. So these are all things that like, you need to pay attention and like do dynamic contributions and conversions throughout your working years, but then it's a really crucial time frame once you hit retirement to make those conversions, but also be aware of all the different things that are affected by the amount of income that you're recognizing.
Absolutely. And that's the thing I see left out of way too many analysis when they're looking at traditional versus Roth. They don't even mention this. So that's really important to keep top of mind. And I see this mistake a lot with high earners too, because they know how great a Roth account, they love a tax-free wealth, and that makes a lot of sense. And so they're kind of afraid to go all traditional, even though they're in the highest tax bracket. And so when I have a client who's in the highest tax bracket, but they're spending very little, and it's very clear to me that once they retire, I can see that they're going to really drop tax brackets. You have to remind them, we're going to do Roth conversions, especially for some of these people who want to retire early. They have a really long time before they hit RMD age. We're going to do really aggressive Roth conversions. So don't be afraid to go into retirement, leaning more towards traditional when you're a really high earner, because there is that opportunity there. As long as you do the analysis and you understand that it's going to make sense for you, there's that opportunity for Roth conversions. But you mentioned earlier, Matt, sometimes people have like huge brokerage accounts that's shooting off dividends and, really high, can force you into a higher tax bracket. That's the other thing you have to pay attention. A lot of people conveniently leave out that variable of the brokerage account. And if it's large enough, that will have a huge impact on your taxes as well. This is why it's so important to, yeah, we can rely on rule of thumbs when we're just starting out, but at a certain point, you really want to optimize. You have to customize this to yourself.
Yeah, and I think one like a really good real life example that I can use to illustrate that point. So I was working with a client before. They owned this business that like they're it was expected to have an IPO soon. Like really successful business, like everything's going great. They weren't paying themselves like a huge salary. So between them and their spouse, they were like around the 20 or they were like in the 32% bracket. And for, in most scenarios, that's going to be a pretty high bracket. So, we would contribute to, and we were looking, this is IRAs, not their 401ks, but when we were looking at it, we were like, okay, they had about, maybe $100,000 of like just traditional money in IRAs. And we were like, it actually makes sense to convert at this 32% bracket, because once that business IPOs, they are going to be perpetually in the highest tax bracket. And it's like, maybe that's a very like small marginal benefit when you look at it over the course of their lifetime, especially like I said, they're going to be in the highest tax bracket forever. They realistically like don't need those tax savings, and that's not going to be what makes or breaks their financial plan. But it's just, these are the things that a financial planner is thinking about or should be thinking about, and it's just a perfect example of why you can't rely on rules of thumb.
No, that is, I'm so happy you brought that up, because a lot of people don't see the 32 or the 35% bracket as an opportunity. But if you're consistently in the top bracket and you expect to be in that bracket for a really long time, potentially for forever, 35% is actually an opportunity. 32% is an opportunity. Just because it's in a higher bracket doesn't mean that it's necessarily high for you. For somebody who's a really high earner, that drop to 32% might be the opportunity where they need to jump on that and realize taxes at that point. That might be the lowest time for them to realize taxes.
Yeah. And that's going to sound crazy to a lot of people, but that's the truth of it. And I feel like that's something that we always, it's just another example of like your situation could be 100% the completely opposite of someone else's. And that's going to be the, let's go, it's going to change the answer around what your strategy should be.
Yeah, I feel really passionate about this just because I've seen it so much, where a lot of the general advice, which makes sense, but it's for, it's for the masses, it's for your average person. And what happens is I'll have high earners come to me and they've been following this advice of, oh, I really want to build up that Roth account. But while that advice is good for most people, it's not good for them. And so we have to say, hey, I know you've heard this over and over again. It doesn't apply to you in your situation. You're in a unique situation, and that advice that applies to the masses, you're not a part of that. So we have to make sure that you do what's right for you.
Yeah, and I mean this isn't going to be like applicable to like a consumer or investor, but like other advisors I'm sure have encountered this situation. It's like you really have to kind of break this like money behavior that they've been conditioned to. And it's hard because you're saying something like you're telling them that they actually need to do the opposite of what they've been doing. And that can be a hard place to start a relationship, but it's something that you like, that's our job is to not just sit there and let people continue to make a mistake that they've been making. You have to have those conversations so that you can really, justify that you're adding value to the relationship.
So that brings us to the end of the episode. I really hope you guys got a lot out from this. I know we talked about how complex it is, how many different variables there are. Most important thing is that to some extent you take action. You don't allow it to paralyze you. But it is really important to consider your specific situation when you're thinking about traditional versus raw. As always, thank you for listening. If you enjoy the show, please consider rating, reviewing, or subscribing on whatever platform you're listening or watching on, and be sure to come back next time. I again am Rachel. You can find me at rachelcampwealth.com, camp underscore wealth on Twitter, camp wealth on Instagram and YouTube.
Yep, and I'm Matt Garrisick. You can find me at unrivaledwm.com and any other platform at Matthew underscore Garrisick. Thanks, guys.
Thanks. Like the disclosures say in the bio of this podcast, this content is strictly for educational and informational purposes. And because everyone's situation is unique, you should consult with the appropriate professional before enacting any of the information you may hear in this podcast. You should not construe any such information or material as legal, tax, investment, or financial advice. This content is provided as is, and although the material is believed to be accurate, no representations are made that the content is error-free.